Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Back to a very special edition of Inside Boxing Live. We're powered by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. December 6th just keeps on getting better. Roach versus Pitbull has just added Oshaki Foster versus Stephen Fulton. Really banger of a fight. Janabek versus Lara to unify the middleweight division is streaming live on PPV.com. We will be in the live interactive chat. We will be boots on the ground in San Antonio. We will be giving you fight week coverage like no one else can. Inside Boxing Live and PPV.com. A strong union, just like Dan Canobio and Chris Algieri in the podcast game. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm back up here, back in the frigid north. It's rainy. It's cold. I'm not digging it. I need to go back to Florida soon.
It's cold and it's damp. Who said that? Frank Sinatra.
Ooh.
That's why the lady is a tramp. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, we said it's a very special episode because we're talking heavyweights. In light of the fight last week, Parker and Wardley put on a show. I thought, why not? Let's do a tier list. We've never done one. I don't know how they exactly work. We might mess it up. Who knows? But we're going to do a tier list, Chris.
Almost definitely.
Yes, we'll definitely mess this up. People will be upset. We're going to make a tier list of the greatest heavyweight fights of this era. And when I say this era, I'm saying Joshua Klitschko on. Do you understand why I'm going with that?
Yes.
That was like the fight of this that began this current era that we're in. It was the end of Klitschko, it was the beginning of Joshua.
Correct. Absolutely. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect start.
Thank you, Chris. All right. Without further ado, we're going to get started. As you can see, we have some tiers here. Chris, I don't know if you're familiar with the tier maker list. The top one is the S tier. It's usually reserved as the best tier. And for that, I have Ali Frazier of the last 8 years. So that is like the top, tippy top.
Right. That's the tier,
That's tier A. That's S tier. That's the best you can get. Cream of the crop of the last 8 years. The Ali Frazier. We'll never forget you, just slightly below. You don't remember, but you should. Fights that you've probably slipped through the cracks because there have been some bangers. And we're living in the age of heavy streaming where there's every fight is almost on. Big meaty men throwing heat. That was Chris's idea. And then...
Pause.
Big meaty men throwing heat is going to be the best category because you can literally put everyone in that one. And then important, yes, but not great. Important, but not great. This feels like a Jeopardy episode. Let's get it started. Let's not waste any time here. We're going to go with Joyce and Parker to lead things off. Joe Joyce versus... Where is it? Yep. Joe Joyce versus Parker. Where should we place Joe Joyce versus Parker?
It's not just because of the name, but I just feel like it does fit into the tier as well. That second to last tier, big meaty men throwing heat. Because not a really important fight. Wasn't like a particularly excellent, it was a good fight, but you know, Joseph Parker, it was unexpected, I would say. I wouldn't expect that Joyce would be able to stop Parker like that, but he did. So I think it fits there.
Yeah, big meaty men throwing heat. That's where I had it on mine. October 2022, Joyce, by late stoppage, battered Joseph Parker around. Parker was supposed to win that fight. It was one of those fights where it was like, oh, man, this is heavyweight boxing. It gets pretty brutal. And we thought that was going to be Joe Joyce's coronation. Ended up not being that. And ended up Parker's the one that went on and fought in big fights after that, which we'll get to in just a second here. All right, Dillian White versus Derek Chisora. Derek Chisora can have his own category, his own podcast here, because he was in so many big fights over the last 6-7 years. I think I'm going to put this in big meaty men throwing meat as well, because Derek Chisora, I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah, you could make an argument for you don't remember, but you should, because that fight is pretty awesome. Like, do you remember them spinning their heads, each other's heads around with left hooks? Like, just like just whipping their heads around with big monster shots throughout. They fought twice, right? And I think White won both, but both
they did really fight twice.
Bangers back and forth. Yeah, that's why I kind of have came it. Before. You don't remember, but you should.
Yeah, well, I'll move it then. I mean, this is a democracy. You don't remember, but you should. Yeah, the first fight came before this current era. Second fight came in 2018. Dillian White is all over this list, and he's all over the last 8 years. He's literally fought everyone. White and Chisora kind of blend together for me, and they're in a lot of like the same types of fight. It's hard. It was like hard for me to differentiate what exactly happened in those fights, but I would say
I think Dillian White probably was better. Like, he doesn't have as many losses, and maybe was more competitive in some of those bigger fights. But Chisora literally fought everyone. He was either in, like, he's either been in like a great back and forth fight, or he lost to like a stellar champion. So, but yeah, I guess they are pretty much in the same lane of career trajectories.
Yeah, look at this.
Good work.
Chisora since 2017, Klitschko, Fury, Hay, Pulev, White, Caballel, Takam, Price, Usyk, Parker, Joyce. That's who Derek Chisora has fought since 2017. I had no idea that Caballel beat Derek Chisora in 2017. Did you know that?
No, I had no clue.
I thought Caballel like just burst onto the scene, like we're showing like our like there's gonna be some like hardcores out there. Like, how do you not know that? I didn't know that. Like,
that's
I thought
a really Caballel, good win. That's a really good win,
right, for Caballel? Exactly, in 2017, yeah. Nonetheless. All right, let's keep it moving. Where are we here? We're gonna go with Wardley and Clark, 1 and 2. First fight was a majority draw. Second fight was the fight in which
Blitz.
Fabio Wardley dented the skull of Clark. Is that big, meaty men?
I think that would be important, but not great. Other than the dented skull, you know, it's like it's two guys that at the time weren't that important in the heavyweight division. We would never think that Wardley would be here this fast where he's at. But his progression has been crazy. But yeah, in terms of like, it's not.
What would make it important?
No, like, wait,
important.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was not important.
important, so, but not great. So, you know, yeah. We're going to hear about important, but not great in a second. Important, not great. I was kind of putting towards like big name fights that didn't exactly live up to the hype.
Yeah.
I think meaty men.
That tier wrong.
Throwing
I agree.
Heat.
I agree. My bad.
No, it's fine, Chris. Like I said, we're gonna talk this through, and we're gonna work this through.
We're gonna work this out
one way or another. All right, Joshua Klitschko. How do you not have this in tier A? This is an easy Ali Frazier of the last 8 years.
I was losing my mind during that fight, like jumping up and down. I was outside by the pool, like freaking out. And my friends place in Florida. Awesome, awesome fight.
2017 May. We're talking about the last big fight for Klitschko, and we're talking about the first big fight for Joshua, the old passing of the torch type of fight. Joshua was already a champion, but still, this was his first big test, even though Klitschko was past the age of 40. Joshua wins TKO 11, Klitschko down in the fifth, Joshua down in the sixth, Klitschko down twice in the 11th, the final punch in front of 90,000 at Wembley. This was the kickoff of this current era that we're in, and Joshua is all over it. He's such a big part of this heavyweight era. But this was your ring fight of the year for 2017. It had everything, man. This fight had literally everything. It was a heavyweight duel, and Joshua just barely got past old man Klitschko. If Klitschko would have won, well, I mean, they would have fought again. But, like,
yeah,
I like to think, like, this era could have completely changed if Klitschko would have won.
Yeah, I mean, would it? Or would they have just fought again? I think Joshua finally would have got him. But I don't know. This fight, like you said, this had everything. This was a perfect transition from the era prior to current era. And even the last punch, that uppercut, where we've all seen that meme of Klitschko's head looks like flying off his head, off his body. It's ridiculous.
Some of them I kind of believed until one of them was like the longest neck you've ever seen, like Inspector Gadget neck. Yeah.
It's got a giraffe.
I don't know. Like, if Joshua would have won, I mean, if Klitschko would have won, they would have had a rematch. Joshua probably would have got him. But who knows? Klitschko would have went on to maybe fight more, which is not a great thing because the Klitschko era wasn't exciting. Like, we're not doing tier lists in the Klitschko era. We're not doing tier lists. And that's a grander part of this podcast. It's like, this era that we're currently in, pretty freaking fun. Not as good as like the 90s, yes. Not as good as the 70s, obviously, which is the boxing era when it comes to heavyweight. This has been a really fun, right? And speaking of which, Efe Ajagba versus Iago Kaladze. You don't remember, but you should. I mean, there's no other place to put this fight. Do you remember this fight, Chris?
Not until you mentioned it yesterday. When you brought it up. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm like, that's crazy. And to think that Ajagba, who's been in some stinkers, is in such a memorable fight is pretty interesting as well.
He was also in the fight where the guy walked out of the ring. Remember, his opponent didn't take a single punch.
Right.
That should be that its own tier. But I posted something on Twitter, the X app, about this fight, and it's currently at 443,000 views because there was a sequence in the third round in which Ajagba stuns Kaladze, and Kaladze is literally on drunk legs, wobbling all over the ring. And then Kaladze lands, not even 10 seconds later, a right hook on Ajagba's chin, sends him to the canvas. It's a beautiful clip because the announcers, they took the announcers out, and it's only crowd noise. But that's heavyweight boxing, and that's Iago Kaladze, who is going to be part of this experiment a bunch. He got blasted out in a lot of fights, but he was in a lot of memorable fights. But, yeah, Ajagba Kaladze is 100% a fight that you don't remember, but you should. Speaking of which, one of my favorite fights of this current era was another one that you're not going to remember, but you should. It's Faust versus Kaladze. Chris, this fight went down on New Year's Day, 2022, and it featured 5 knockdowns in 5 minutes. They only fought for 2 rounds. They only landed a combined 32 punches, but it was one of the drunkest fights you'll ever see. Kaladze pushed the referee. It was absolute chaos, and it was one of my favorite drunk fights that you 100% don't remember.
Probably because you were drunk while they were also drunk. Punch.
It was New Year's Day in Miami too.
Yeah, I do actually remember this fight. There's another one where you brought it up, and I was like, oh yes, I remember this fight. I just turned it on just now too. These guys are just two big drunkards beating each other up. It was pretty fantastic. And you said chaos. I think that's the perfect word for it.
Chaos, like absolute chaos. It was on the like FS1 portion of the night, I want to say. It was back when PBC had to deal with FS1. And it was leading up to the Ruiz Ortiz main event on New Year's Day. How do you feel about New Year's Day fights? Should we get back to that or should we do New Year's Eve?
I actually think I like New Year's Day. I like being lazy watching fights. Like even like when Inoue fights in the mornings on like a Tuesday, like I like that. Like I'd rather not a bunch of stuff going on. I'd rather not be in the middle of the night. I'd rather not be Saturday night, like center of the world. I'd rather just be chilling, be able to watch the fight, you know? So New Year's Day is cool because you're kind of recovering. You've been up late. Let's watch some fights.
That was a cool one. That was a good one. They never did it again at New Year's Day fights. New Year's Day, you think of college football. They have the big Rose Bowl, big bowl games. I think NFL is probably playing on college if it falls on a Sunday. But big-time boxing on New Year's Day could be a thing. UFC will probably steal it and do it. All right, Konaki Areola. Konaki Chris Areola. Where are we putting this one? We'll never forget you. I'm kind of like, you also have to remember these tiers like go in order. Like it does go in order of like fight.
Yes.
This fight broke all sorts of CompuBox records. They landed the most combined punches in the history of the heavyweight division. They threw the most combined punches in the history of the heavyweight division.
So for that reason, I think you have to go, We Will Never Forget. We will never forget. That's it set records. And I don't know if those records are going to get beat in the near future because both those guys threw ridiculous amounts of punches. I trained with Adam. Adam was in my gym. With Keith Trimble and Belmore. He actually walked into the gym the week after I won the title against Ruslan and was like, all right, we got real boxers on Long Island. Let's go train where this guy's from. And Adam, he used to spar so many rounds, man. He just had an endless gas tank. And you'd look at him and be like, how does this guy looks like he's like chubby. Right. He's going to get tired. He would never get tired. Never got tired.
Unbelievable. And this easily could be big, meaty men throwing heat because they were overweight guys that you would never guess. Like you said, Konacki, you would never guess this guy's got an ultimate gas tank. Konacki provided some great nights during this heavyweight era. Just an all-action type of fight. Not really a knockout guy. More of an accumulation. Obviously, they went the distance in this fight and they threw ridiculous amount of punches. It was just awesome. And also, like, his nights at Barclays were freaking sick because he's Polish. There's a huge Polish contingent in Brooklyn. 8,000-9,000 screaming. It felt like you were in Poland. It felt like you were in like a crazy soccer match. And I'll never forget how loud it was for Areola. And unfortunately, this is heavyweight boxing. You win and you lose. I'll never forget how quiet it was for the Robert Hellenius fight when he lost, where he was supposed to win and then go on to maybe fight Wilder. That's heavyweight boxing, bro. You win big and you lose big.
Yeah, and Adam's been on both sides of that train. He's been the train. He's also been run over by the train. But yeah, this could actually fall in a couple of different categories. We'll never forget you for sure. Possibly you don't remember, but you should. And it's because it's a fight that maybe you might not think about. And big meaty men.
You don't even want to say it. You don't even want to say it.
I can't even say it.
Chris, you don't want to
say it. I hope the algorithm's not listening.
No, they are. Let's move on. Wilder versus Fury. We're getting into the big heavy hitters. This is Wilder Fury 1. Now, I'm just going to come out and say I have a very controversial take here. People remember this fight because of the moment where Fury gets up like the Undertaker. It was the first really big fight of this era where we're getting to like the big names. Like Fury came out of pretty much retirement, off the couch to take this fight, and we weren't expecting it. We were expecting Wilder Joshua. All of a sudden, Fury steps in. Awesome. We were all jazzed up. Oh my God, a big heavyweight fight. We haven't gotten this in a while. The fight stunk. Besides the 12th round, the fight stunk. Like I just went back and watched it. And I found the stats. Like they barely landed any punches. Like, where is it here? Fury landed 100 punches to Wilder's 85. They threw less than 30 punches around. It ended in a draw. It should have been a win
And it wasn't hard to score either.
No. Well, how did you score it?
I had Fury winning.
Yeah, so did I. The draw was insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah, and insane. It changed the course of boxing. It changed the course of this era because it went from Fury should have won. It could have been the end of Wilder, quote unquote. And it went on. They fought three times. They held up the division. Like, it's insane how one night in this sport can change everything and dictate the entire era. But I'm putting this important but not great because it was an important fight, but it wasn't great.
I have to agree. I had to think about this one. I was like, at first I was like, oh, man, like all the hype around it. I'm like, man, this could be like Ali Frazier. Then I'm thinking about the fight, and I'm like, wait a second. No, I remember this fight. I actually fought the night before this fight. And it was one of my comebacks, and I came back and did a hometown fight against some guy with an upside down record. And I fought that night, and literally came home and went and like after my win, came home and watched the fight, and with all my friends eating Italian food. But and then I was thinking about the fight. I was like, yeah, I was hyped because I just fought, but it really wasn't that good of a fight.
Yeah, you were coming off of your adrenaline, and you were like, yo.
Yeah,
and I remember also had friends over
final round.
Right, and this fight captured the imagination of a lot of like casual fans. I had friends over, and that last round was sick. But like, I remember the typical have your buddies over that don't usually watch boxing. We hype up the night. The fight first couple rounds absolutely suck. Every people are falling asleep. They're trying to make other plans, and then the 12th round comes. And the 12th round comes, and you're reminded why this sport is insane. You're reminded why heavyweight boxing is insane because the 9th round too, when Fury went down. And then he rose up from the canvas in round 12. And I remember my friends being like, this is unbelievable. This is the only type of drama you can get like that is in heavyweight boxing and just boxing in general. Important fight, but not great. Zhang versus Forrest. Do you remember this unbelievable fight?
Yeah, I do. I called this fight. It was a match in Miami. It was in Miami, which was weird. It was during the pandemic. What was the date on that one?
I have the date right here. Zhang versus Forrest. February 2021. Masks.
Yeah, so we were still in masks and bubbles. Matchroom had like rented out the entire hotel and we all stayed in the hotel. It was pretty cool. Zhang came out to an early lead as he should against a guy like Jerry Forrest, drops him multiple times, looks like he's going to finish him quite easily, and just completely runs out of gas and gets
beat up
and beat around the ring and looked like he was like literally on his last legs.
He went to the hospital after
really
the fight.
Suffering from really bad dehydration. And then, you know, his team reached out to me because of that fight. And we kind of figured out that it was dehydration because it was in Miami. He wasn't really hydrating. He's a heavyweight. Wasn't really focused on drinking water. And it was hot. And so he wasn't used to Miami. Even in February, Miami can be hot.
I don't mean to laugh, but I remember a story coming out, like, I could be wrong here, that he didn't like water, Zhang. He just didn't like, he'd rather drink other liquids.
It could be a myth. That can't be true. He's a two-time Olympian. The guy's been an athlete for 30 years.
I heard he really liked Kool-Aid, and he just was drinking it by the gallon, really, and it dehydrated him.
He got Americanized real quick and just only drank Coca-Cola.
He's like, oh, my God, Snapple, this is so good. And then all of a sudden, he's collapsed. But I don't mean to laugh, because he's fine now, and went on to make a lot of money and some big fights. Yep. But he almost collapsed. He got hospitalized after the fight. He's like, kidney shut down. But Forrest went down three times in this fight and still got a draw. And I remember the crowd. It was the first time that we had in a long time that crowds came back. And I remember watching bubble boxing and being thankful that we were getting it. But, like, where's the fucking crowd? We need a crowd. And the entire stadium, you probably remember this, was starting to chant for Forrest. And he was getting so much confidence from the crowd. And I remember being so excited for this, I would say, okay, heavyweight fight. But just the fact that we hadn't had big boxing crowds, I started going crazy. Forrest gets the draw. Then after the fight, he calls out Anthony Joshua off of a draw. And I was like, this is fucking amazing. This is why I love this sport. It was such a cool moment.
Jerry's awesome. I've called a bunch of his fights, and he's always come. He's one of those like tough B-side guys who gets brought in to test your guy. And he certainly tested Zhang that night. But he's also a character. He's a really fun interview, a really fun guy to have post-fight, obviously, calling out Joshua off a draw.
I called one of his fights recently, like last year at MSG. I forgot who he fought, and he was like,
both called that fight.
Yeah, who did he fight?
It was a good win for him, too.
I don't remember.
Did he win?
I can probably find it right here. I don't remember, but I remember.
Oh, no, he fought Earl Newman. It was Earl Newman.
Okay.
And he did win.
And I remember, like, before the fight, I'm like, yo, so what are you trying to do? What are you trying to get out of your career? And he was like, almost cut me off. It was like Saudi money. He just straight up said it. He's like, I'm just trying to go to Saudi Arabia. Like, I'm not trying to beat around the bush here. He's like, I'm trying to get paid a lot by Saudi Arabia. I was like, all right. Yeah, sure.
Boom.
Let's move on. Usyk Joshua won. Usyk Joshua won. I'm leaning towards important, but not great.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you why.
That's exactly where it goes.
Because it was important because this began the reign of Alexander Usyk. And it was like the beginning of the end for Joshua. I know he did lose to Ruiz, but this was the beginning of the end for Joshua. It was the beginning of Usyk's reign, who went from cruiserweight to, okay, he'll be a decent heavyweight, to where we are now, where he's, oh my God, this guy's an all-time great. It wasn't that great of a fight because it was so technical and Usyk was just that much better and he kind of dominated, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But wasn't
it? No knockdowns, nobody got hurt.
Exactly.
Yeah, no knockdowns, nobody got hurt. Usyk was just technically superior in every way. And it was more of just an eye-opening event. That's why it's the perfect category. Important, but not great.
And Joshua was a huge favorite heading in. I remember picking Joshua. I have a tweet that people throw at me. Dude, I have a tweet that people just love to remind me about. And listen, when you're on Twitter as much as I am, you're throwing out takes. You're going to make a few bad tweets. It's just part of the game. And I was like, pretty much along the lines of, there's no way that Usyk can beat Joshua. You know, this is going to be an easy fight for Joshua. Like, Usyk is just not that guy. and people love to throw it back at my face, and it's humbling. And I thank you all out there for throwing that at me every once in a while, where I think I know about the sport and I'm feeling good. And then people will be like, yeah, remember when you tweeted this in the summer of 2021? I'm like, ah, shit.
You should print that out and put it on your mirror in the bathroom. Be like, every time you start thinking like you know what the hell's going on, be like, you know what? A little humble pie real quick to start my day.
I don't. I'm perfectly fine with that. Keep us humble out here. We don't know everything. You're not supposed to. No one knows everything.
The most iconic message in our sport is you don't know shit about boxing. Like that is literally our sport. Nobody knows what the hell's going on.
And everyone loves to throw it out there. Let's keep it moving. Wardley Parker, this happened last week. You don't remember, but you should. You should remember because it happened last week. But I think it goes into the second tier of we'll never forget you because it was that much of a banger.
Yeah, it was that much of a banger, and it actually, in hindsight, this might really age well because this might be the start of a really interesting and fun Fabio Wardley career arc because this is basically his coming out party, and goddamn, did he kick in the door.
Do you think he's a flash in the pan, or do you think he's got staying power, Wardley?
Everything that I've seen from him, the trajectory and the speed at which he's improving – combined with the athleticism and the size and just, I mean, his demeanor, everything, it tells me that he's going to be around for a bit, but it's heavyweights and he can 100% be a one trick pony that night was the first, last and only.
Did you? Yeah. Like when we do this episode in 5 years from now, it's Inside Boxing Live episode 700. And we're doing another tier list. Is Wardley in it? Is he reigning supreme or is he giving us like crazy nights? Like he kind of falls off a little bit, I should say. I think he's going to be around for a while, one way or another.
I do too. If he does fall off, he's gonna fall down the board here. He might be in the you don't remember, but you should. I don't think he'll ever drop down into big meaty men throwing heat. I don't think it'll be important, but not great. Because it's really not that important. It's more of a great fight than an important fight. But it could drop down a tier.
And then you have the ending, and that fight had everything. It was theater. I think it's going to age really well, that fight, and we're going to put it in. It gets B-tier status. We'll never forget you. Wilder Fury 3, Ali Frazier. This is top tier, bro. This is one of the best heavyweight fights of the last 20, 30 years. You could put it in any generation, any era, knockdowns galore. We thought it was going to be a throw-in. It was it ended up being the best of the fight, the best of the trilogy, I should say. This fight delivered in many ways.
Super rare that a third fight between two guys is actually the best fight. Almost never happens, actually. But even like Gotti Ward, like obviously the first one was the best one, but the third one was pretty damn good. And it was really because usually by the third one, guys have either figured each other out. One guy figured out the other guy because he's just a better adaptable fighter, or they're so damaged by the end that they're just like just punching bags, eating, knocking each other out, like we saw with Vasquez and Marquez right. When they fought all those times. They were just bags of meat by the end of those fights, so they weren't really that great. But these guys both damaged each other enough at the same degree that no one really could pull away so much. So we had a really good fight and knockdowns. It's kind of like a heavyweight Gotti Ward.
Yeah, it was the ring fight of the year for 2021. It was around Halloween time, around this time, and a little bit earlier in the month. And yeah, Wilder down in the third, Fury. Wilder went down in the third and the 10th. Fury was down twice in the fourth. And I remember thinking, like, this could be it. Like, this could be it for Fury. Mm-hmm. Fury hadn't lost up until that point. He had the draw with Wilder in the first fight. But as we just said, like, and as everyone knows, that was a win for Fury. Fury was kind of invincible at this point. I mean, he was like, he's coming off of the second win against Wilder. He was on pound for pound list. He's doing the Ali fucking rope-a-dope stuff. And he's everything. He's on the canvas now, and he's looking up like, oh, shit. Like, and it was going to be Wilder's biggest win and Wilder's biggest moment. But like you said, heavyweight boxing, man, it's crazy. Fury weathers the storm, gets the win, creates an all-time classic, and that goes into our Ali Frazier of the last 8 years. Joshua Ruiz won. I'm also putting in the top class. Easy.
I don't know about Ali Frazier.
No, it's not Ali Frazier. It's Ali Frazier of the last 8 years.
No. I know, but I'm just saying that tier. I wouldn't put it that high.
Really?
I think because Joshua, he scored that knockdown early, but he looked so fragile. And apparently he had got knocked out in sparring leading up to the fight. He was really concerned about going in about that fight. Everything was just all wrong for him. And he kind of wore that into the ring. So I think we'll never forget you. Joshua will definitely never forget it. Andy Ruiz will never forget it. I fought on that card, actually. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, did you watch it? Maybe you're not putting it here at the top because you were out hanging out. Maybe you didn't catch it.
No, of course I've seen it many times since. I mean, high drama for sure. But I don't know. I think we're gonna get some heat in the comments for the putting in the Ali Frazier of the last eight. But
okay, fine.
No, go ahead there, Dan. You're putting a good argument. Maybe I was blinded because I fought that night.
My argument for top is just like it was such an iconic night. Like we're talking about a movie could be made on this. I know that that's not the end all be all, but it was also like both guys hit the canvas. When both guys hit the canvas in a high level fight, I tend to put it in that top tier. I tend to put it in that like, wow, we'll never forget this type of fight. Ruiz wasn't just some flash in the pan. I ended up obviously after this, his career, this was really it for him because of self-inflicted stuff. But like, he wasn't just some guy off a couch. Like he was legit. No. So it wasn't like he was.
And that's another. Yeah.
Good.
No. Finish what you're saying.
Yeah. And I was just saying that it's not like he was just some like guy that they found of some slop fest of a fight. Like this was the heavyweight title and Joshua was supposed to, this was him fighting at the Garden for the first. It was a carefully selected opponent. Yes. Because Big Baby Miller fell out of the fight too. I don't know. I think it,
but if Andy went on, if Andy didn't put up duds afterwards, I think it would be because like, look at the fights before Fury Wilder, like it's Fury and it's Wilder, Joshua Klitschko, it's Joshua and Klitschko. And I was like, Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua belongs there, but it's like Andy Ruiz, like, dude,
yeah.
I mean, you shot
he
yourself in the foot
name.
Immediately after
his
this
name
fight,
so bad.
Right after this fight, he could have been a real force and he could be one of the guys we're talking about as being the best of this modern era. And he just completely put up a goose egg.
All right, I'm going to keep it there just for now because there's one more on this list that could potentially go up at the top, and I'm curious what your thoughts are because I had a question mark next to it, so we'll get to that in a second. Chisora and Takam. This is all the way back in 2018. Where would you put this one? It was Adam Abramowitz, who I hold in high regard as a boxing fan, had it as his 2018 fight of the year. It was a Chisora TKO 8. They combined to throw nearly 1,000 punches. They landed a combined 300 punches, probably Chisora's best win, but it was a really good, like, come-from-behind win for Chisora. Where would you put this one?
I would put it in either You Don't Remember, But You Should, or just Big Meaty Men Throwing Heat. Because
I'm going Big Meaty Men.
That was my first thought, but then I was like, it's a good fight, but you definitely don't think of it as in recent years. But yeah, Big Meaty Men Throwing Heat, that deserves.
I want to say something quickly about Takam. This guy, shout out to Carlos Takam. Every heavyweight era, era of boxing needs a guy like this guy who's going to fight everyone, test everyone. He fought Bacoli, Makhmudov, Joyce, Chisora, Joshua, Parker, and Povetkin.
Yeah, he's like a modern day Burt Cooper.
Yes, perfect. And he didn't win a lot of these fights. Burt Cooper. He made a lot of money, Takam, and he's a very serviceable heavyweight. Definitely belongs in this list. Wanted to give him his props.
Serviceable heavyweight. That's a good way to put it. Serviceable.
Right. Serviceable.
Provides a service. He provides a service.
Right. He provides a service like in baseball. He'd be signed every year because he provides something. He might bounce around a lot of teams, but he's going to give you a solid effort. And, you know, you could pay him like $10 million a year, and he could have a great MLB career. That's Carlos Takam. Dubois Joshua. I'm putting this important but not great. Important but not great. I don't know why I even have this.
That's where it has to go. That's where it has to go.
There.
It's
has
not,
to go important.
Not a
great
fight, but it's like it's essentially the end of Anthony Joshua at the high level. So it's important.
You read my mind.
Yeah. So it belongs here because it's the end of that era, that Joshua era.
Yes, it is the end, and he went out swinging. And Joshua gets a lot of flack, but this guy is all over this list. He's been in so many fights. He started this era This was the end, though, I believe. He will fight again, and who knows? I don't know what he'll reach again. If he fights Fury, then that's the fight we all want to see, and that would just be an exclamation point on the end of this heavyweight era. But this was the end of him competing at a high level, and it was also the coronation for Dubois, who I believe is his chapter is not done. His book is not finished at heavyweight, Daniel Dubois.
Yeah, Dubois is young, and he still has some more good years left in him. How boxing is this, that Joshua is at the top of this list and the bottom? Yeah, at the beginning and the end. That's how we all go in boxing.
It's a fucking crazy sport, man. It's like me in the podcast game. I'm at the top, and then eventually I'll be at the bottom, and I'll be doing who knows what.
You'll be doing ham radio.
Yeah, exactly. Wilder Ortiz won. Banger. Do you remember how much of a banger this was?
I do. And I was always very high on Ortiz. I really liked him. Big Cuban heavyweight. He was mean, good skills, super durable, very strong, could knock you out with either hand. But Wilder's just that special guy, man.
I think I'm putting it up top, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll never forget you.
Because this was Wilder was not supposed to fight Ortiz. He was supposed to fight Povetkin. That fight falls out. Bermain Stiverne was in the mix for this fight. That he took some step aside money. No one wanted to fight Ortiz, and Wilder's like, all right, I'll fight him. But Wilder had so many other big fights like in the periphery, like the Joshua fight that obviously never happened. Fights with Fury, fights with any of the bigger names. He's like, all right, I fight this Cuban southpaw who may be 50, 60 years old. No one wants to fight him.
Maybe. And it ends up being like, means he's 50.
Yeah, and it ends up being like a drag-out battle at the Barclays Center. It was a great fight. It was an underrated, great performance from Wilder. I believe it was Wilder's best win. Both of them.
Wilder showed that he wasn't just a one-trick pony that night. Yeah, he's legit. Like he can go through the fire, which we saw that later on that he certainly needed to be able to do that. Wilder. I know Wilder gets knocked around a lot. He was a super solid, really tough guy. Went out on his shield. Always tried to win. So, before this last run of his, I should say, those are so forgettable that I forgot about them. But back in his heyday, man, Wilder was something else. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some Wilder fights in here that didn't make the list. He did reign over this era for a long time, but he didn't. He had some spectacular knockouts, like the Spilka fight spun him right out of there. Washington was a shootout that could probably have been on one of these tiers, but this would have went on forever. Like I found like 16 or 17 of the most high level. I would say like highly publicized fights, like, because I know there's going to be people in the comments or out there that are going to be like, how could you forget about this fight in Russia that happened in a backyard that like Tim Boxeo was tweeting about, like, I can't believe you didn't put that one in here. Like I'm putting fights that we all watched or like remember watching.
Yeah, I know. I like this list. And again, there's going to be ones that we've forgotten. I'm probably have some in my head right now that are not coming to mind, but they'll be out there. But what's
last one, Chris? Last one. Fury Usyk 1. Now, I'm debating. Is this S tier? Is this top tier Fury Usyk 1? Or is it just below? Are you putting this S-tier. In the tippy top?
Tip top.
I believe so, too. S tier. I believe so, too.
I think that the fight was high. So it's different than when Usyk fought Joshua, because the cat was out of the bag. Like, Usyk is the guy. He is a badass. But like, it's Tyson Fury. Like, Tyson Fury's a badass. Like, he's the guy. And hadn't lost, still undefeated, two undefeated guys. Such a debatable fight going into it. Like, who's going to win? Why they're going to win? How is it? You know, how do you see it? Blah, 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 blah. And then the fight actually turned out to be awesome. So it really has everything. It has to be top tier.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I can't believe I was even on the fence. I needed to hear that from you. Yeah. It was huge. It was the first four-belt undisputed heavyweight fight ever, and it was the first undisputed heavyweight fight since the Lennox Lewis time. And right, everyone was picking Fury to win, but don't sleep on Usyk. Can the little man beat the big man? And then they go out and provide like a theater. It was cinema that night. And that ninth round where Usyk is just battering Fury, his head is like a pinball all over the roof. He's hanging up against the ropes. Like it provided that picture that would be shared for a really long time with Fury. So yeah, that was one of the best, and that rounds out an unbelievable era. I mean, this era gets kind of slept on, I believe. I think a lot of boxing fans are kind of in that like down bad mentality where we don't get the fights that we want, and we're missing this fight, we're missing that fight. This heavyweight division, these are fun. These are 16, 17, really fun fights, historic fights. This era, I think, will be looked back on pretty fondly of heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, and the guys fight each other too. So it's not like we got all these orbiting planets that never cross paths. Like, these guys are actually fighting each other. There's some fights that didn't happen, like a Joshua Fury, but it still might happen. Mm-hmm. It might happen on the tail end of their careers, which I'm all for. I do want those guys to actually fight. We didn't get Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder, which I don't want to see that one now. I don't care to see that one anymore. Yeah, in their prime, absolutely, but not any longer. But no, I agree with you. It's hard to compare them because we've had such good decades in the heavyweight division in recent years. Are we going to talk about the eras, or are we going to do that on a different
show? Yes, I'm going to ask you right now, Chris. You read my mind. Okay. We're going to end this show by, I'm going to ask you to rank the heavyweight eras. 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, current.
70s, number one.
Easy.
90s, number two. And this is where I'm going to get some pushback. I'm going to go 80s, then current, then 2000s. And you could probably maybe swap 80s and the current, but like, you can't overlook the Mike Tyson era. I don't care.
And where do you put Tyson? I don't care. Like, where do you put Tyson? Do you put 80s. Him more 80s or 90s?
Yeah, I put him 80s because that's when he was on that indestructible run where he was literally. It didn't matter that the opposition wasn't great. He was a force to be reckoned with, and everything moved around him. So. Without you know, overlooking Mike in his heyday in the 80s when he was, you know, the guy, the baddest man on the planet, I still have to have that one ahead of this era. And that's not a knock on this era. It's just that, God, the 70s are awesome. The 90s were great, you know, and then Mike Tyson is number three. So number four has got to be now. And the 2000s is forgettable.
I think there's no debate that it's 70s and 90s, 1-2, I think. Consensus. Everyone would agree with that. The 80s gets a little hairy because it's post Ali and it's Larry Holmes, who was underrated and just didn't get the flowers. So the 80s is tough. Mm-hmm. 2000s, Lennox Lewis. Where do you lump him in? 90s, or do you put Lewis more in the 2000s? Like, who's the best heavyweight of the 2000s? Is it Klitschko?
Klitschko. But Lennox in the late 90s. That's when he was like young and destructive. You know, I think the 2000s right. version of Lennox is a little more the master chess player. Yeah, the pugilist, you know. But he was people forget he was a destroyer, and he was blasting guys out. And like, I look at those. I lump him in with the 90s, even though, you know, he had a reign in the 2000s.
I didn't put the 2010s in there. Because that's the Klitschko era, the most unforgettable era of heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, yeah. Klitschko was great. It's kind of like the same era.
Yeah, I would say 2000s, and then I would say from 2000 to Joshua Klitschko was its own era, very forgettable. Klitschko was awesome. Vitaly was awesome. They just didn't have any foes. They didn't have any opponents. They were almost like, they weren't going to fight each other. There was no one. It was like Klitschko versus some European guy that we never heard of in Germany, maybe on HBO, maybe not. Klitschko wins in like the eighth or ninth round, and then we're like,
it was either a decision or like very slow until Klitschko lands a right hand, and then the fight's over.
Yeah, in comparison to that era, this era that we're in right now, or it's about to end, I feel like, is really good. And who knows? Moses Atalma could be the Joshua of this era. He could start off. he could get the passing of the torch from Usyk. That's how the sport works. That's how it's always worked.
That's how it works. That's how
Would
it works.
Would you say that Atama is the next guy?
He could be. He could be. It's so far to go. I mean, he's so much to prove, so much to show. And yeah, he's got all this talent, but like with so little experience in the sport in general, like it's really hard to tell how far he can really go. You rarely see guys who come with such little experience in our sport and make it to the tip top. But I don't know. He could be something completely different than we've seen.
The chips are all in on Atama. I mean, if you had to buy stock in one heavyweight for the next 10 years, you're paying a very high price, but it could pay off because I don't really think there's anyone else. Like Wardley, he's 30, and, you know, I who knows? It's interesting times. Maybe we'll have to revisit this in 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now when we do our next tier list for the heavyweight division. Hope you all enjoyed this episode. Something different. You know, it's not the most exciting time in boxing right now. We're going to get some big fights in November. I figured we'd join the youth and do a tier list, Chris.
Fun. This is a fun show. I enjoyed this. I enjoy when we start to get nostalgic, even if it's even recent nostalgia. Because there are fights that come up that you forgot about. They just fall into the rug. Oh, wait, I remember that fight. And it's just, yeah, this is a fun episode.
All right, everyone. I'll see you early next week. We'll get back to the boxing news and everything that's out there. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Big, meaty men throwing heat.